Good morning. Again, a welcome to all our guests. We thank you for joining us this morning. This morning, we're going to look at a text in which Jesus tells us a parable. A parable is a story that is used to demonstrate a particular meaning. In this morning's parable, we are going to see that God wants people to come to his table, to be loved by him, to be cared for by him, and to be fed by him. And we will see that many people will reject and have rejected this invitation. And we will still see the king or God wants his table filled and the celebration to begin. And so he opens the list of invited guests to everyone. And because of this love that God has for all people, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and they went on their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. When the king thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And the king came to see the guests, and saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And he said to the king, Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Please be seated. I remember hearing this as a young Christian and being scared because of this whole weeping and gnashing of teeth, and wondering, well, was I really called? Maybe I'm the one who wasn't clothed properly. Well, that's really not what this parable is all about. It's the end of it, but it's not the focus on what Jesus is talking about here. And let's look at this parable and really what Jesus is dealing with. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables. The kingdom of heaven, it may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent out his slaves to summon those invited to the banquet, but they did not want to come. First of all, we see the king. And now this, to the people that Jesus was speaking to, would have been the most powerful man, the most powerful being that they could understand. For a king in that day could walk down the streets and say, I want him dead. And they were dead and killed, and there was no recourse for any people. And so we have a very powerful man who wants to give a wedding banquet for his son, a feast. And he sends out his servants, his slaves, those who are bound to him, to call those who he's inviting to the feast. Now, how many of us, when we receive an invitation to a wedding, don't go? Some of us, if I know some of my friends well enough and myself, may go begrudgingly, because we're guys and sometimes those are not things we want to do. But we go, because that's what we are asked to do. But these folks, they don't want to go. And so they don't even show up. And when they don't show up, we see the graciousness of the king. Because what the king does is he sends more servants to them. And says, come. Come again. Again he sent out other slaves and said, tell those who are invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, the fatted cattle have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. He entreats them. He begs them. Tells them of all the wonderful things that he has provided for them, for the guests of this feast. And yet, they don't do it. And in fact, what we find out in the next verses is they pay no attention and went away, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the others seized his servants and treated them outrageously and killed them. Now we also have to remember the context of this story, because Jesus is still dealing with the Pharisees at the temple. Again, this comes from a whole list. We've talked about this the last 4 weeks. Jesus is still in the midst of this discussion with the Pharisees, and he's talking to them. You see, God, from the time that he chose his people, sent them prophets, sent them people to bring his word, to tell them of his love for them, and still they disobeyed him. And still they would not listen to him. And they rejected him. And this is where we are at. But God didn't give up easily on his people. In fact, he continued throughout all of the Old Testament. In the midst of their sin, when he would exile them, he'd call them back. And he would lead and guide them even in the midst of their grumbling and their complaining in the desert. God always trying to bring his people to love him. And instead of loving him, they killed his servants. To the point, finally, that we are at in our text, they are about to kill his son. And this is the end of Jerusalem as they knew it. The king was enraged, and so he sent out his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned down their cities. Now, if we know our history, we can know that Jerusalem was indeed destroyed in 70 AD. The temple no longer existed. You no longer had to go to the temple to meet God. It was destroyed because we now have Jesus Christ. We now have the Holy Spirit, and we now have the Word that comes to us. Now, this doesn't mean that God totally rejected his chosen people. Again, we have to realize that most of Jesus' first followers were Jewish. But they didn't reject the message of grace and love that Jesus brought. And he still will receive in all those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And so God is very gracious. And so gracious, really, to us that this is what he does. He then tells his slaves, the banquet is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go to the roads or to the highways the exits to the cities and invite everyone you find there. And so the slaves went out onto the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. And the wedding banquet was filled with guests. This, to me, as I read this text, is the most important part for us who are believers in Jesus Christ. Because God calls everyone. He doesn't say, just go get those few people over there. Or in our case, most of the time from our background, don't just go get those Finns and Scandinavians over there. What he says is, go out and get all people. Everybody. And that's exactly what his servants do. And if we look at the apostles after the death of Jesus and throughout Acts, and especially if you look at Paul, he went everywhere. He went into the most evil and vile places that this planet has ever known. When he goes into Corinth and into Ephesus and Galatia, these were some of the most evil places that are known to mankind. If we actually knew and really described what they did as religious and good, I would probably be thrown out of this church today. Because their very acts of worship were evil and vile. But Paul has no problem. As a servant of Jesus Christ, he is going to both the evil and the good. And he goes and he proclaims the message of the gospel. The forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ shed upon the cross. There is no judgment by God's servants. There is no judgment by us as his followers. We are to go to spread this message, to show the grace. And I love that today we read the 23rd Psalm. Because in the 23rd Psalm, as you go through it, we find out that God does everything. In the whole thing, it's God working. It's not me being good. It's not any of those things. But it is what God has done for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil. Not because I'm strong, but because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Think about that. These are all the things that God has done for us. And all God asks us to do now as his followers, as the followers of Jesus Christ, is to go out into the streets. Grow out into the world and tell the people that God has prepared this banquet for you. That God has sent his son, the bridegroom, to die for your sins. And that he wants you to be united with him. And actually, that you are united with him. Because of what he has done. And this is the biggest problem. Because for a long time in the Christian church, we've been scared of what's out there. What's in the world? There is nothing in this world that can hurt us. Jesus Christ has overcome sin, death, and the devil. And he has done it for all mankind. The biggest problem is they don't know it yet. And our calling as his servants are to go out there. To not worry whether they're good or evil. But to invite them to the banquet. to bring them to the Father, to the wedding feast, so that they too can know that their sins are forgiven, that they too can be brought to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our calling. That's our duty as servants or as slaves of Jesus Christ. To invite all people, regardless of what they're caught up in, regardless of the sin that may be in their lives. Because it really shouldn't matter to us. We just bring the message of the King. Come. Will there be a separation? Yeah. It's right here. But it is not done by us. It is done by the King Himself. When the King came into view, the guests he saw, there was, or when the King came into view of the guests, he saw a man who was not dressed for a wedding. And so he said to him, "Friend, how did you get here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. And the King told the attendant, "Tie him up hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." Now, I started looking at this week because this one, again, as I said earlier, scared me when I was a kid. But I came to a realization. The wedding garment is the person of Jesus Christ. The more I looked at this and the more I started to look at the New Testament, that we are to put on Christ, to be clothed in Him, to be hidden in Him. And that prepares us for the wedding. There will be people in our midst and in the midst of the church universal that won't believe, that won't come to repentance, that won't understand that Jesus has died for their sins. We are not to separate them out. That's not our calling. It's not my calling as a pastor. It's not your calling as Christians. None of us have that ability. What our calling is to spread the message of the gospel, and in the end times, God will do the separating. It is not our worry. You see, too many times we take that part on ourselves, where our job is to spread the message, to bring the gospel, to invite everyone to the feast, to tell everyone that God indeed sent His Son to die for your sins, to shed His blood for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you can all believe these things. And how people receive that is not my responsibility. That is God working through His Word and through His Holy Spirit that will bring apart repentance and faith and forgiveness. But we must always remember it is the goodness of God that brings about repentance. It's not me up here telling you all the bad things you do. It's me telling you about the love of God for you, despite the bad things that you might have done. For God loves you, and you are forgiven in the blood of His Son. And today, we will take part in a precursor to that feast that we just read about as we celebrate Holy Communion. And all of you are invited to partake of that feast, because it was given to you, and that blood, it was shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. In Jesus' name, amen.